Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we went through Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, and then also looked at Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. And in both of those sections, Jesus is talking about marriage and divorce and remarriage. And it was a difficult subject, but I think one that ultimately we needed to hear about. We need to hear the words from Jesus and let his words really shape the way we view these things. And so I would encourage you to take the time, if you haven't already, to read through Matthew 5, 31 and 32, and then go to Matthew 19, 3 through 12, because you get sort of an extended version of what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 31 and 32. But the basis of it is that the Pharisees, in Matthew 19, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they ask him, is it lawful for any reason, right? For any and every reason to try for a husband to divorce his wife. And Jesus lands on a very conservative position where he says, no, except for sexual immorality. You can't divorce your wife. If you divorce your wife and go marry another, except for sexual immorality, and it's considered adultery. And he goes back, and I think it's interesting, the Pharisees ask him for reasons for divorce, and he kind of gives them a mini sermon on the meaning of marriage. And I think in a sense, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, if you're sitting there asking the question, what are all the, you know, biblically permissible ways I can get out of my marriage? I think he's saying to them, you're asking the wrong question. You really shouldn't be there just looking for loopholes and ways to get out. You should be asking, what's the purpose of marriage, and what does God want to do in me and through us in the context of our marriage, and how can I live that out? And so I basically pulled four things out of the text. I told folks, look, I'm not going to be able to address every situation and how this applies to every single person, but I pulled out four things, and the four things were this. Number one, that singleness is not a curse but a gift. There's a section at the end of Matthew 19 where verse 10, 11, and 12, where Jesus talks about how some people choose to live single for the sake of the kingdom. And so we just talked through, you know, singleness is not a curse, it's a gift. And we need to treat singles that way and singleness that way. I talked, number two, about how divorce is almost never the way forward. I very much tried to address that in our culture, I think we reach for divorce way too easily. That God is for marriages, that marriage is hard, and we need to understand that, and we need to not have divorce on the tool belt of sort of options in marriage, right, as sort of an eject button. We need to not reach for that. We need to not even have it on the tool belt of things that we can use to work on our marriages. It's almost never the way forward, but I did address what I see as some exceptions to that, that in the scriptures, there are some scenarios talked about that might be, divorce might be as a last resort permissible. And so we talked about what Jesus says here about marital unfaithfulness. We talked about in 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul says that, you know, the abandonment of a spouse, right? That their unbelieving spouse abandons them and no longer wants to live, you know, married. Obviously, we talked about not divorce, but remarriage in the context of death. If your spouse dies, that, you know, you can get remarried. And then I tried to address abuse as well. And I basically said, if you're in an abusive relationship, the first thing to do is we know that you're not called to suffer silently or alone, that you should reach out to one of your pastors so that we can come alongside of you and talk about that and help you move forward and help you in the most biblical way possible. And those issues are complex and they're not to be addressed, I don't think, in 2-minute, you know, little snippets. Those are longer, complex conversations. And so tried to address those things and said, look, there are times where divorce might be the way forward as far as biblically speaking, but those are rare. They're exceptions. It's not meant to be something that we reach for in marriage. Marriage is meant to be a permanent, binding, lifelong covenant, not a breakable contract. And so number three, I talked about how Jesus gives us a better, harder, deeper vision of marriage, that he really draws us out of our me-centered marriage kind of idea. And he goes to this covenant idea that God takes two people and makes them one. He goes all the way back to the beginning and quotes from Genesis 1 and 2, that God created them male and female, and that a man leaves his father and his father and mother and is united to his wife, right? Clings to his wife, he's united to her, and that God makes those two people one flesh. And he says, that's why, right? What God has joined together, let no one separate. Something spectacular is happening in marriage, where God is bringing two broken people and he's binding them together in a way that honestly reflects the way that he binds us to himself in and through Christ. Ephesians 5, Paul talks about marriage as being a picture, really, of the gospel, of God's relationship, of Jesus' relationship to his church. And then the last thing I said, and I spent some time on this, was that wherever you are, Jesus can meet you there. And so I just tried to talk through, you know, if you're single, if you're dating, married, married and happy, married and not happy, divorced, divorced and remarried, and all those situations, and just talking about no matter where you are, Jesus can meet you there. And it may require repentance. It may require, it may just need healing. You might, it may not be things you've done in the past, but things done to you. But wherever you are, the gospel applies to you and you can find healing or forgiveness or hope, reconciliation at the cross, going to Christ and recognizing that God sent Jesus to pay the penalty for your sin, for my sin. And he rose again that we might trust him and have new life in him. And God promises to raise us to new life, just as he raised Christ to new life. And we are made new in Christ, which means we can be transformed and our futures, our relationships can be transformed. And so I just tried to address as strongly as I could that wherever you are, Jesus can meet you there. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some time to pray. First off, I want to thank you for joining us today on the Drivecast. I hope you'll take some time to join us tomorrow as well. I'm going to pray for us. And then after that, I just want to encourage you to think about what's been said. Again, to go read in Matthew 5 and read Matthew 19 for yourself, but also just to take some time today to pray. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for the way that you love us in Christ. God, sometimes the things that we read in Scripture are countercultural. Sometimes they're hard to hear, but Father, we don't want to view our circumstances. We don't want to view your word through our circumstances. We want to view our circumstances through your word. And so, Father, help us to hear what you have to say, what you said, Jesus, about marriage, about divorce, about remarriage, Father, to hear those things, to ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and how it applies to each one of us. God, help us to uphold your word and not try to change it according to culture, Father, but rather, again, to view our circumstances through the lens of your unchanging, eternal word. Father, help us to be gracious to one another. Help us to receive grace from you and the kindness that you offer us in Christ. And Father, help us never to justify or rationalize sin in our own lives, but rather to come before you, Father, to repent, to humble ourselves, and to receive the wonderful forgiveness and grace and hope and new life that you offer us in through Christ. God, we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.